child, but your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin.
Welcome to episode number 165 of the Inside Running Podcast, the final episode for 2020. Thanks for downloading the show, streaming it, whatever you're doing. If you're about to go for a run, thanks for giving us a bit of your attention for the next, 60 minutes tonight, maybe 80 minutes, something like that. Should be a pretty quick show, this week's show, just after Christmas. Welcome to my co-host up in Canberra, Bradley Croker. How you going?
Good, Brady. Yourself? I'm excited, actually. I enjoyed this episode last year. We went through basically the running year in review.
I like this stuff too. I like this time of the year, actually, kind of like celebrating Christmas and then like reflecting on the year and then setting some goals for next year. It's a nice time of the year, this one. Julian Spence, welcome to you down in Anglesey. How you going?
Good, mate. I love this too. It's a real training period, isn't it, for me? I like it.
Yeah.
Bit of time off.
Bit of time to knuckle down. Good time to sell some shoes and stuff, I reckon, too, wouldn't it? This festive season, everyone will be buying shoes.
Yeah, I mean, Ballarat's not a place where a lot of people go for holidays or for the Christmas period. Most people actually leave Ballarat. So it's not quite the same as like a CBD store or something like that. But it's good. It's fine. I mean, we get a lot of new runners in this time of year, which is good.
Anglesey would be packed too at the moment, wouldn't it? People everywhere.
I don't know how there's actually people anywhere else in the state. It feels like the whole Victoria has come to Anglesey. It's the road is carnage. A lot of people out on the footpaths with dogs and kids on bikes. It's nice to have people around for sure. The business is cashing in, but it's not that fun when you need to go down and get a bottle of milk or something.
Oh, yeah. I went to the supermarket at Savo and all the loaves of bread were just gone. Like, the shelves were just bare. And I'm just like, I like that you're here pumping some money into our economy, but a loaf of bread, really? Like, is it that hard?
It's more the attitude, too, of those that come into the town. They're not quite I don't know. They just feel like they're more on edge. It's a bit more competitive. Everyone's sort of angry about car parks and blocked traffic and is spots at the beach they need to get. I don't know. No one says hello on the trails.
The pace just goes up. Like,
it does,
The pace around the supermarket just feels a bit quicker and definitely tell it. We've spoken about it before. Just jogging around, the like rate of people saying good morning goes from like 95% to about 65%.
Yeah.
It does. Just pick it so quickly.
Yeah, it's not very nice like that. Like, you'd think like people are on holidays, it might be different, but it's more just they're not.
Oh, you lost him, Brad.
Yeah, I thought I was worried it was going to be me.
Yeah, so was I. The tourist had just cut his internet after he slagged him off for a couple of minutes.
That's rare for Moose to be the one to lose internet.
You back, Moose?
I lost the internet?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, you dropped out.
Oh, okay. Oh, shit. Nah. I didn't know. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, the neighbors are down, and I think they know the password to the modem. So, it's coming up to peak streaming period of the day, like 7 p.m. So, it might get a little scratchy.
We'll see how you go. We'll be right. Brad, do you want to go first? Tell us about your running week.
Yeah. Okay. So, Monday was 45 minutes in the morning. So 4:23s, and I actually feel better than I thought because I ran in Sydney on the Sunday and then had pretty much jumped straight in the car and drove home. I thought I might have been feeling a bit ordinary, and last Sunday was my first 2-hour run, but it actually wasn't too bad. 4:23s, heart rate is like coming down. Like every run I was doing, I was averaging sort of low to mid 140s, whereas now I'm sort of more down around the mid to low 130s, so that's a good sign. That afternoon, went and did some weights. Then Tuesday was our track session. So it was like a reverse pyramid. So it was 1200, 800, 600, 400, 400, 600, 800, 1200, all off 90 seconds rest. And so, yeah, like every rep on the way down progressed, got about 3 seconds per lap faster. So I went like 347 for the 1200, 226 for the 8, 144 for the 6, 67 for the 400, and then 66 for the second 4, 144 for the 600, 224 for the 8, and 342 for the 1200. So it was good that I was able to run the second half quicker, because it's one of those sessions that it's pretty easy to, if you don't get your pacing right, you know, you can cook it early. And I was actually surprised how much, although you get slower in the second half in terms of the pace that you have to run, having run a couple of solid 600s and 400s, it stung the legs enough that the 800 and the 1200, you really had to sort of still concentrate, and you know, you're running on tired legs. So I'll definitely do something like that again. I enjoyed it.
So were you trying to match it or better it in the second half?
I wanted to at least match it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so everybody that was there, I pretty much said the goal is to make sure that you don't run the second half slower than the first half for every rep. Yeah, because it shows that you've at least been controlled. And in terms of effort, like ideally I was thinking somewhere around like 30 minute race effort for the 1200, sort of 5K pace for the 8, 3K pace for the 600, somewhere between 1500 and 3K for the 400, and then work the way back. So the second half was obviously probably a little bit too quick, but yeah, I was happy with how that went. And then about 10 of us, because it was the last session before Christmas, 10 of us sort of went out for a couple of beers and dinner.
Tip a few then, in. You have a few?
Was it? I had two. Wednesday, did 70 minutes out at Mulligan's, and about halfway through the run actually bumped into Chris Hamer. He was out there with his wife and daughter. So I haven't seen Chris for probably a year. So we stopped and had a 2 minute chat to him, which was good to break up the run. Actually, I don't know if you guys find that in the mornings, if you're a bit stiff, like you think that maybe after 20 minutes, you just, everything just loosens up. But for me, sometimes I just feel that way the whole run, unless I actually stop and just have a bit of a stretch or whatever. And then I feel completely different after I've stopped. So I felt way better in the second half of that run, 421s.
Hey, give us some intel on Chris Hamer. This is the guy who got selected for the 2018 Con Games in the marathon at the Gold Coast, but got injured beforehand. We got to see him back again.
And the 2014 Commonwealth Games, poor bastard. I don't think so. We are going to tee up a run. He's pretty much running, says he just does like 30 minutes every day now. Yeah, which is a real shame. He's one guy that I'd love to see come back. And yeah, like I couldn't imagine being in that position myself where I've been selected for two national teams and never made a start line. So yeah, super talented, and yeah, hope to run with him over the next week or so, and try and convince him to maybe come out to the track on Tuesday afternoons.
Yeah, get him out there. Did you ever see him get around Melbourne, Moose? Were you running then when he used to do the AV stuff at Box Hill?
I used to run. I ran against him or well behind him for a while.
Yeah, he used to dominate, didn't he?
He was a very strong athlete. Yeah, very strong.
Yeah. Yeah. So Thursday, just did 10K out at Mulligan's, and actually did a sort of new loop. Like I've run all parts of this before, but I've never done this exact loop. And what I loved about it was exactly 10K. A lot of my 10K loops, I do a loop and then have to do an out and back section. And this is a little bit flatter as well. So that was 418s for that 10K, and then weights in the afternoon. Christmas, yes, that was Christmas Eve. Yes, I had my parents over for Christmas Eve, and then they were here then in the morning. So after they left, sort of late morning, I just went to the gym and just jumped on the treadmill again for a 9K tempo. So it was a little bit quicker than last week. So yeah, 30-40 for the 9K. So it's like sort of 3:24s, and heart rate was actually a little bit lower than the week before, where I was just under 3:30. So yeah, so that was an enjoyable session. I didn't feel too beat up afterwards. Still felt pretty well in control. And then on Saturday, just another 45 minutes at 4:16 at Mulligan's with that new loop. And then Sunday, I did 2 hours, 4:13. So I did my normal sort of out and back of Mulligan's, which is like 18K, and then the 10K loop. And it was, yeah, like as I said last week, my long runs are feeling, I feel good for maybe 90 minutes. And then, I guess the heat played a factor yesterday. It was probably, mid to high 20s sort of by the end of the run, which... you know, if you're doing 45 minutes, it doesn't really affect you too much. But I reckon from that sort of 70 to 80 minutes onwards, the heat really sort of compounds and heart rate gets a bit high and doesn't come down. But overall, good week, 108K for the week, two decent sessions and a long run. So, yeah.
And that heart rate, 157 for the treadmill tempo? That's coming. Yeah. That's coming down. And plus that 45 minutes, that was 4:16 and you're at 133.
Yeah,
you're getting sneakily fit here.
Yeah, it's funny. Even this morning felt absolute rubbish. So my perceived effort was actually quite high. I think largely because of the heat, just that direct sunlight. But then when I finished the run and I checked my heart rate, it was 133 average again, which is which is not too bad for 4:24s. So yeah, getting fit. Well, I'm being consistent, so that's the key to getting fit. You have your rough days where you're not feeling great, but as long as I'm getting out the door and I feel like I'm respecting the process a little bit better at the moment, in terms of all I really care about is my two quality sessions a week, and I'm not as fussed about what I do the rest. Today, for example, I thought if I feel good, I'll do an hour. If I don't feel great, I'll just do 45 minutes. So I just did 45 minutes, because tomorrow session's the focus again for the week.
Brady, yes. Remember about 3 months ago when Croker came on and basically retired from all sorts of competitive running and no sessions anymore, and now he's sitting here saying, oh, the real focus is the workout tomorrow, and I've just got two workouts this week and a long run, and I'm just focusing on the process again.
Yeah. Can you remember just telling him to not worry about fanging easy runs as well? Just do those at 4:30 and don't care about them.
I still don't have much. I'm enjoying the workouts largely because I meet people for those. I still don't have any massive goals. I want to try and break 15 minutes for Macca's, but then once I do that, I don't know what my goal will be.
This is bullshit, Moose. He knows I'm coming up to do this 5K with him, and he's trying to get as fit as possible because he knows I'm a bit underdone, and he's going to smoke me, and then he's going to bring it up for the next 6 months on the podcast.
I tell you what, Brady, if I beat you in that 5K, you're the one that should be retiring.
I don't know.
He knows water on a track.
Yeah. No, we're on the road. It's a road 5K.
There's no way I'm beating you. But I'm looking forward to that'll be my first real hard hit out, so it'll be good to see where I'm actually at. I'm predicting somewhere between 15:15 and 15:25. That's my prediction.
Another 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
It's not that long. It's a week and a half. It's less than 2 weeks away now.
It's like the 9th.
Yeah, it's less than 2 weeks. It was 2 weeks last Saturday.
Oh yeah, it'll be a week. I know how days blend together this time of the year. Yeah. I see this Moama person's commenting on your Strava as well. I don't know. I'm starting to get this. Did you see these comments on here?
No, which one?
First name Mo, last name Amma.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They throw a bit of lip. There's a few just people hiding behind fake accounts. Every day I'm checking stuff and just getting tagged in something, or someone's throwing lip somewhere.
Moama.
That's right.
Mohammed Amur.
Pardon?
Mohammed Amur, just shortened.
Well, just says first name Mo, last name AMA, which is Moama with a gap next to it.
It's not you, is it, Brady? Because
it's not this me. I don't have time to make meme accounts and stuff.
They follow one person and they have zero followers. And the one person that they follow is you.
Yeah, they've got some good gags. No, it's definitely not me. They throw some good lip, though, that account. Yeah. So good to see you getting on you. Moose, what have you been doing?
I had a pretty good week, I reckon, of training. It was probably the best week I've had for ages. Because I was recovering from the 10K, so general rule of thumb for me is don't do a workout early in the week after a 10K on the track, because it beats you up more than you think. I reckon most people underestimate how much a 10K on the track beats you. So Monday morning, Monday morning. So Monday arvo, pretty hungover run. Ran with Ali. Bree was on the bike or running, I can't remember. No, she would have been on the bike. So yeah, we got out. Pretty happy to get that done, but felt awful. Next morning, 7K round, up and down the cliffs. That afternoon, ran with my mate Tony, who funnily enough, I rocked up to the run with no shoes. So I had to borrow his shoes, which he found quite funny because I have a running store. And it's actually the second time in a week I've rocked up to a run with no shoes. And I had to wear these leather shoes to warm up in before the race on the Saturday night before. I had these big leather shoes they had a bit like a running sole on them, but they were like a casual leather upper, and I had to warm up in them before the race. But he's a half size bigger than me, so I got into his shoes. We ran 15K and did surges, I think about 10, maybe 20 second hard, 60 second jog, a few hills in that loop. So it was quite a good one. We got going in the end. Yeah, next day.
Sorry, do you rock up everywhere like in your slides and then just put the shoes on just before you run? Is that what happens here? Why do you forget shoes?
I've come from work in my work shoes.
Oh, okay.
Which are the leather ones. They're a running sole, kind of. They're like, they're called the Hoka Bondi slip resistance. So they've got like this slip resistant sole for people that work in kitchens, and it's a full enclosed leather shoe. So you can get away with maybe 4K jogging in that, but not 15K.
What for the race, Moose? Why didn't you just warm up in the shoes you're going to wear for the race?
What do you mean? Like your race shoes?
Yeah, on the Saturday. Because you said you had to wear these leather shoes when you warmed up for your track race.
Oh, yeah. So I could have worn the Alpha Flyers to jog in, but I just didn't want to. Mm. Like, that's it. I hate doing that.
Yeah, you want that feeling of putting them on and feeling fast.
That's right. I wanted a change from warm-up to race. That enhanced that feeling coming out of leather stompers. So yeah, I could have done that. That was my second option, Brad.
Hey, while I've got you here talking about shoes, because I in the past have just kept a pair of like just jogging shoes in the boot of my car, just for these reasons. Like, you're just never sure when you might need you go for a run or an opportunity presents itself, and like a pair of shorts and singlet. But then with the weather, like if your car's parked in the sun for the day at the work and the car heats up, does that damage the shoes and the foam in the shoes and stuff like that? Like, I just leave my Alpha Flyers in the back. Yeah.
Yeah. They can turn to mush. They can get super flexible, feel real sloppy underfoot. Definitely. Some foams are more heat resistant than other foams. So when you put them in, and most of the time this is to do with cold weather. So if you're in really cold conditions, say like Northern America, they run when it's freezing. You know, it's a whole different type of running up there. But say you get out and it's snowing and it's 10 degrees below zero, 15 degrees, and your shoes have been left outside by accident. Well, the foam gets super hard, and like we're in hot weather, it gets really soft. And there's some shoes that are a lot more heat stable, some foams. So it's not really anything to worry about when you're in a pretty mild climate, but there are different foams that react differently, which I thought was really interesting when someone was telling me about that, one of the reps.
But surely, like if you're up here and it's getting to 40 degrees temperature and then even hotter in a car, like that can't be good for a pair of racing flats, that kind of heat.
No, yeah, you don't want to keep them like that. No way. Sometimes if it gets warm enough, the glues will start melting, and you need to keep them in a temperate environment, say like 10 to 20 degrees.
Yeah. Optimal storage temperature.
Yeah, don't leave them in the back of your car. That's no good for shoes. That's awful for shoes. They'll distort and everything.
Brady has like a wine cellar where he keeps his shoes.
No, I used to keep them all in the boot of my car. Like, you'd pop the boot of my car. It'd be like $2,000 worth of racing shoes in there.
That's a good idea. Maybe we could do a car fridge. You could plug in your car fridge and just keep your shoes in there.
And those glass boxes where you can just like see through which ones are. Anyway, sorry. Thanks for that, though. That's good for listeners. Don't get run shoes in your car.
Yeah. 9K in Arvo Run Club. Next morning, went out to Tanner's Road, which is a road in the bush out here. Did 16.5K. Did some surges during that evening. 7K. One of the first times I've done a double, because it got kind of warm. So you know you're feeling that second run when it gets warmer. I got out pretty early, 4 p.m. I don't know why I got out so. Oh, Christmas Eve. Yeah, Christmas Eve. So I had to get out a bit earlier because we had to go and do stuff, you know.
Singing annoying, carols and stuff, wouldn't you?
Annoying Christmas stuff. Next door, great. Got a bit of a religious couple next door, and they were just caroling at the top of their voice. It was so funny the other night. Christmas night, I think it was. Just terrible singers too. classical carols, when you're a bad singer, it's not very forgiving.
This is their day, though. You realise Jesus was born on the 25th of December. Like, this is Catholics, like, this is their day of days.
Yeah, I get that. There are there is a selection of society that celebrates that birthday. I know you're winding me up. You want me to say something?
Yeah.
Next day, actually Christmas Day, woke up, went out, did an uphill tempo. So this was a workout that I'd scheduled for Ali a while ago, but then she hurt her foot, so no, we never actually went and did it. So she kind of wanted to do it. It's near her house. It's a seven. Well, the hills I thought was 7K, but we started a bit shorter. And turns out it's not quite 7K. So it was myself, Blake, Ali, and Bree went as well, and we handicapped the tempo run. So Bree went off first. She was sort of just jogging. Then Blake and I gave Ali 90 seconds head start, and then I gave Blake 30 seconds, and then we kind of just tempoed uphill until we got to this one intersection, and it was 277 meters of climbing. In the end, it was 6.3K, and I was sort of coming up at 6K. I thought I had a kilometer left to catch the two in front of me, and I went past Ali at maybe 6.2K, and then I'm like, oh, collect Blake. He was about 5 seconds in front of me, and then the bloody finish line was there right in front, so he ended up getting the handicap win. It was pretty fun, though. Have you guys ever done like a full-on uphill tempo?
Nah.
Brady's never run up a hill.
Yeah, I know, Brady. I wasn't expecting a yes from Brady.
I used to drive to Bendigo to do some like rolling hill tempos, but not like from the bottom to the top.
Yeah,
it's, oh, that Fitzy's hut at Falls Creek. I've done that. Like, you know, when you do that Fitzy's hut one, Fitzy's, and you turn. But yeah, that's only like a 2K hill kind of thing, I think. Maybe 1,500. Yeah.
Fitzy's is pretty hard, but it's more hard because the ground you're running on is so uneven.
Yeah, yeah.
You would have done the Mount Ainslie, right, Brad?
No, like I've done sessions up Mount Ainslie and Mount Stromlo, but it's more like 3 minutes up, 90 seconds back down, and 3 minutes back up. So you're slowly sort of working your way up. I've done like one K or just over 1K hill reps, and that was like, I think, maybe 70 meters elevation over that kilometer. That was pretty brutal, but I've never done like a 6K straight up.
Well, I think, well, what's 6.3? No, I'm not going to do the math on that, but I probably could do the math on that. There were little plateaus through the climb, so you could sort of get your heart rate down a little bit.
Looks like the first couple of K was the toughest.
Oh, yeah, the first 2K. Yeah. Blake actually put, like, I reckon 20-30 seconds in me up the first 2K. He's gone off real hard and maybe a bit too hard. But, yeah, it towards that sort of 4.5 to 6, it actually looks like it gets a bit flatter, but it doesn't feel like that.
Mm. Like it says here, like, you know, 13.5% gradient, like, which is bloody that's pretty tough running.
Yeah, yeah, the first two definitely. That first climb to like 1.1, and then it flattens, and then it goes again, and then it was pretty much relentless until you get to the top. But anyway, it was a good workout. Christmas Day, sort of nice to hammer ourselves in the morning. Jog back down the hill for a cool down, so 6.3K back down. I didn't run that afternoon because I thought that I would pull up a little sore. I was actually okay. I met up with Blake the next morning to run a 14K loop, but I messed the loop up pretty good and ended up running 18.4K. Blake had his dog, Walter, and it was Walter's first run back after like a surgery he had. So Walter complained more than anyone about this loop. It was kind of warm too towards the end, so we were having to wait at like dams and water holes for him to cool down a little.
Aren't but you a local? Don't you know this area?
Yeah,
like, it's a pretty big fuck up. 4K.
In my head, I'm like, oh, we're on the 14K loop, and then at about 10K, Blake's like, this is going to be way longer than 4K at home, and I'm like, oh no, it's 14K loop. And then I actually did some sort of thinking. I'm like, oh no, you're right, we're way off. And I'm like, oh, I should have turned like 3 kilometers back there, and then I said, oh, we'll take a shortcut through this little cutoff. And so we went down this shortcut, but it turned out it was actually just an extra loop. And then we came back at the spot where we turned off from. So instead of taking a shortcut, I just added an extra 2K. And then it went from being 16K to 18K. And then the other half K was me running down a path, getting to a point going, I'm going to cut my losses here and just say I don't fully know where this goes. And by that stage, Blake was like, we're going back. We're going the way that we know. And so we'd run back, and all of a sudden it's 18.5K. Mm. So, yeah, it's a bit long. It's all right. What did that Killian Jornet said? More kilometres for free or something. Or more Ks, more fun. Something like that. Some weird ultra thing that he said, like, when he got lost in the middle of a 100-mile race. Oh, no, he was going around Lake Tahoe. Crazy distance, like 300 Ks or some shit. And he got lost for like 10K or something. And he comes out smiling saying, oh, more miles, more fun. I'm like, oh, that's some kind of sick that can do that.
But comparing a guy who's done 300 Ks to a guy who did 18 instead of 14.
Yeah.
You're really getting to the ultra distances there.
I was out there for an hour, 10. Yeah. He's been out there for 45 hours. Yeah.
Good quote.
I ran around town that evening, 6.5K. And then long run Sunday morning, went out to, Balbray, I guess. Did two laps of a 13.5K loop, added on an extra K at the end, so or half a K. Did 28K, 4.08s. Got moving in the end. If I pull up this run, I'm pretty sure like the last sort of 5-10K got pretty quick, I reckon.
Yeah, all 350s the last 5K.
Yeah, my heart rate probably went up pretty high too, I reckon, because it was harder. That 4-minute K with 22 meters of climbing, that really sorted me out. But because I'd only done one workout that week, I sort of gave myself a license to go for it a little bit. And group kept up really well, actually.
Good work.
That's my week. What was my week? All of it. I think it was about 145, maybe.
And more than that. 150-odd, wasn't it?
Well, 149.
Was
it 149?
Yeah.
149, yep. So it's a good week and I feel good. So on to the next week. I just got to start churning out like 25 weeks like that. That's what I need.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's your biggest week since maybe September or August.
What's that week? Yeah, one that week there is also... It was one. Yeah, no, it's my biggest week since August for sure. Yep.
That's it now, isn't it? You just got to string them. Having that same conversation with Ali when we're doing the long run up here on Sunday. You just got to get to that level and then just go, now just put them together.
Yeah, yeah, it's just, now it's consistent. Now it's just, that's just routine. Week in, week out, just punch them out. You just make it part of your life again.
Are you going to go longer on Sundays or are you just going to keep it at 2 hours?
Going to start going longer now. Yeah, so we'll, I don't know what marathon that I'll do, but I do need to start going longer because I'll probably do one in the first half of the year, I reckon.
I'll ask you this same question again in a second, Brad, because I forgot to. But Moosh, your 2020, how do you rate it? What did you learn? What are you looking forward to in 2021?
How did I rate it from a running perspective?
Yeah, for you individually.
For me, I 4 out of 10.
You did a lot of training though, like you did 6,500 Ks.
I still remember, and this is going to sound bloody ridiculous, but I did 2 workouts where I finished them and thought, you can run 2:12. Like I remember the workout and how easy they felt, and there weren't any races to do it. And I got a few niggles here and there, but there was 2 times where that's where I finished thinking that. And I know it doesn't mean shit because you think that, you've still got to go and do it. But that was the kind of mindset I had at that point. So like that's what got 3 points. And the other 1 point was a time trial I did where I felt like it was a good result for me in a time trial. So that's 1 point. So the rest is like no results.
Yeah, remember those like massive workouts you were doing when you thought London was going to happen in April?
Yeah.
Remember doing like, doing like 30Ks at like 3:16 or something, saying it felt easy.
Hungover as shit.
Yeah, like, remember so you went, hungover. Yeah, you were drinking whiskeys or something. I've just found it here, 8th of March, 30K at 3:16, hungover on this loop in Ballarat.
Windy as fuck that day. And look, we're here talking about practice. You know, Alan Iverson ain't going to talk about practice like this. So let's move on. I'm embarrassed talking about a training run, but that's all we can go back to now because there was no race. So I can't talk about the race because it never happened.
Did you learn anything about your body and like managing some of the niggles that maybe have popped up this year? Like what some of the triggers might have been?
You know, I didn't really learn anything like that. I didn't find like I was like deficient in anything like strength work or anything like that. Potentially I learned that you can't change your running style dramatically without it loading some other area, because that's what I did do one day and I got a sore foot that still continues to nag me because I changed how I was running and what shoes I was running in like really quickly with a 20K run. So that's one thing that I'll never do again. But the main thing for me is more of a positive to take out of it, to know that I can get in shape, that I'm not washed up yet.
6,000. Oh, no, yeah, you don't. Did I say 5,500 Ks? You done 6,500 Ks. 6,589. Brad, same question for you. You went from retiring to coming back, and now your body seems to have sorted throughout 2020.
By the end of the year, I will have run 5,200K. So I guess average 100K a week, which is, not great. I started the year pretty shit. Then I actually got moving pretty well. Like I remember I paced M Brickachek at, maybe March for a 3K. And then I was going to go to Sydney and do that 5K. And it got cancelled the day before with COVID. And then by May, I was actually running pretty well. Like I was doing 37K long runs, 4 minute Ks, 40 minute tempos in shitty conditions at 3:14. Like I was still having days where like I still wasn't feeling like amazing, but then I got a sore hip. And I think when I got a sore hip, that's when then everything pretty much stopped. But I guess the one thing I've learned is that if you're consistent, even if you think you're not moving well, but you get through the training, you're going to be fit. Because I look back now at some of the stuff I was doing in April and May, And I reckon I got on the podcast and was probably whinging about how I felt most of the time, but I was fit. So if you do the work, get out the door, even if it feels rubbish, you're going to be fit and you're going to actually run well when it counts. Yeah.
What's 2021 going to hold?
Macca's buffet at some point.
Buffet?
I thought you were just going one burger. Now it's like whole menu.
If I break 15, I can have whatever I want.
What do you go for? What will you go for?
I'll have a Big Mac, and I'll have a cheeseburger, and I'll have some fries, and then I'll see where I'm at after that, but I'll probably have another burger.
Go on McFlurry or something too, won't you?
Don't waste it with liquid.
And I'll have no liquid, and then I'll have a dessert.
Ooh.
Macca's chat.
It does make me feel a bit sick.
That's only if I break 15 minutes at some point.
That's on, I reckon. Get that done in Jan. I'll whip through my week, eh? 60 minutes Monday, 4:39 average. Was just running on, wasn't looking at pace. I thought I was actually covering the ground a bit quicker than that, but I wasn't. I did the opposite to what you did, Brad. I saved my run after 30 minutes because I thought my watch was going to go flat, and then I started again for the next half an hour, and I actually went slower in the second half an hour after stopping, and I'd had a bit of a stretch and stuff there too as well. Tuesday, did a workout with Archie. We did like a progressive 30 minutes, so we did 10 minutes at 3:15, 10 minutes at 3:12, which we were aiming for 3:10, but we kind of got stuck in a bit of headwind for that one. And then 10 minutes at 3:06. It was good. Good work. Probably the best workout I've done in 2 or 3 months since I've been back rolling. All up, it was 9.4K at 3:11 pace. And the heart rate was 166 average, which was really good because it's been kind of at that for closer to 3:20 pace the last kind of 2 or 3 weeks. So it's, although having an injury and a little niggle's annoying, it is rewarding when you get back to stringing sessions and weeks together and you can see the gains. Whereas when you're just constantly putting weeks on top of weeks, everything's kind of at a same kind of standard. And that's sometimes when you're trying to, and I've been, I don't know, done it in the past as well, you try and race sessions to kind of see some improvement, whereas it's kind of just naturally comes back. And yeah, I didn't think I'd be able to hang on to Archie, but yeah, stuck with him the whole kind of workout, which was good. And then got out for 30 minutes in the afternoon. So I put doubles back in this week, 30 minutes at 4:21 on the Tuesday afternoon. Wednesday was just all about recovery. I did 60 minutes at 4:30. Thursday, I did a medium long run of 80 minutes in the morning at 4:23 pace, and then 30 minutes in the afternoon at 4:38 pace. That was Christmas Eve, so some good mileage there across two runs. And then Friday, Christmas morning, I did this workout. I call it Trail for Fartlek. I definitely didn't invent it. I'm just trying to get a fartlek named after me, a bit of ego kind of stuff. 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, and then 5 minutes with 1 minute jog in between. So it comes out as 25 minutes in total time. And I always try to start at kind of threshold pace and then finish at threshold pace, just trying to match those 5 minutes at kind of like the both bookends of the workout. And yeah, I did 3:12 for the first 5 minutes. Then I cut down to 3:09 for the 4 minutes, 3:04 for the 3 minutes, 2:58 for the 2 minutes, and 2:46 for the 1 minutes, and or the 1 minute. And that was like just pretty much as fast as I could run. And then was back at 3:10s for the last 5 minutes. All up, it was kind of 7.5K at 3:21 pace. A bit rushed like Christmas morning. I think I did like 12 minutes warm up, quickly changed shoes, did that. And then cooled down in my next percent just because I was, yeah, struggling to find time to do much more of a warm down just because we had to be somewhere for Christmas breakfast. So, yeah, a rushed one, but good to get out there. I actually did. I always enjoy running on Christmas. Well, I used to enjoy running on Christmas morning, like, you know, 5 or 10 years ago when you used to see heaps of kids, like, riding their new bikes and scooters and being outdoors and stuff. But then I noticed, like, a massive trend of the kids just dropping off because they all just get devices or inside stuff and you just don't see them on the streets Christmas morning anymore. But I went out my driveway and probably went 200 metres and there's this local kid just popping a mono on this bike at, like, I don't know, 6:55 a.m., and he's just giving me like the biggest smile. He was just so stoked with his bike that he's riding around in the morning. I just wished him happy Christmas. And I'm like, oh, Christmas spirit is still alive in Moama, which is good. And then I didn't see any other kids for like the next 10K. Sunday was recovery. Actually, I was super tired Sunday. We went to Bendigo after we had like an Echuca morning for Christmas Day, and Hudson just didn't settle at all, just in a different house. And yeah, it was up all night kind of thing. And by the time we got back to Echuca, I got out for 60 minutes, but was just felt almost like jet lagged. You know when you like sleep on a plane, but you're not sure if you've actually slept, and then like that kind of stuff. Yeah. So got out for 60 minutes at 4:34, but was really tired and stuff. And then Sunday, we had running royalty in Echuca Moama. Ali Pashley was in town. So she jumped into the long run. Lucky she was there, actually, because Archie was just doing an hour and Glenn was out of town. So it was just me and her for the first hour. Then we met up with Archie.
Can I correct you there, mate? You jumped into her long run.
That's what I said.
She's the best runner.
I was going to ring the local paper and stuff, Brad. I was like starstruck. I said to Carly before I went, I'm like, do you reckon it'd be weird if I ask her for a photo, like after we finished the run together and stuff? Yeah, well, I was super excited.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't ask her in the end. I didn't ask
Brady,
her.
The tried to get her. Boy.
Oh, she's just such a good ambassador for the sport, though, isn't she? She's just so chilled out and relaxed. And she kept saying, like, thank you for letting me join in. And I'm like, what did you think? We're going to say no. Like, I was just going to do a solo long run by myself. So, yeah, we got rolling all right in the end. We did 20. Well, her watch said 27.4K at 4:09s. Mine said 27 at 4:13s. And we're next to each other the whole way. So, bit of a difference there. Started hot. It was like 23 degrees when we started. It was 33 when I got my car after we got a juice afterwards at the end there. But yeah, we were all right. Went through a couple of sprinklers. Just talked some rubbish for 2 hours. Just a bit under 2 hours, and yeah, got it done. It was good for Archie to meet Ali as well. Something to, you know, when you see a super elite athlete in your local town. She's probably the most famous sports person I was thinking about has ever been in a Echuca Moama.
Like, ever?
Yeah, I think so. I was like, I don't think
that's a big call.
How do you judge fame?
Well, I judge it because like people go, oh yeah, there's AFL footballers. So I'm like, no, this person's on the world scale. The world scale.
I'm sure some Olympic medalist has been through Echuca.
Yeah, but probably some shit sport that like's not even competitive or something. Do you know what I mean?
So you're judging fame based on like, because you know her.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just judging, like, did I say famous? She was pretty, maybe not famous. Like the most elite sportsman ever to be in our, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You hear the froth in his voice, Moose?
It's a bit embarrassing, but yeah.
Yeah, it was exciting for us up here. Exciting.
I think there are a lot of psychos in running, and it's sort of, elite running, it's a bit of a cesspool for psychopaths because you have to be so dedicated. You have to love time spent by yourself, focusing on one task. You've got to enjoy actually hurting yourself, like putting yourself in really uncomfortable places. So there's a different type of personality that gets attracted to the sport. So when someone comes along like Ali, who is maybe a little more refreshing, than a crazy person, it's noticeable.
Hmm. Are you suggesting that I'm the crazy person? Is that
you
are
100% the person? The only bit that didn't fit there was elite. I think I said elite.
You remind me, Brady, of that guy on Happy Gilmore, the guy that shooting the Gavin guest to try and, you know, you want to go to Red Lobster Shooter?
Oh yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Maitrey.
Yeah, well, we just said, it was pretty like just quiet here and on the run front. So when we get something like that rolling through, it was good. Took her through. She likes it up here too. I reckon she'll move up here. She was talking about buying houses and stuff. So yeah, might have a new training partner. Anyway, that was my week. 130K. Got to do 4 or 5 of those, and I'll be going all right, I think, which is good. Go up and do some running with Brad in a couple of weeks, 5K. And even, Moose, you want to do that 5K in Bendigo? There's a big 5K in Bendigo coming up.
I'm bringing all the boys down for it.
Good.
How do we enter?
Yeah, I think it's like BendigoHarriers.org. So I'll just give this. Yeah, it's so they've teed it up with the Bendigo Council who do like stuff in the parks. Like, so the Bendigo Council and my running club, it's turning 100. They're kind of putting it on together. It's like a 5K PB night, but they've got like a marquee it's similar to like Night of the 10,000 Meter PBs. So they've got a marquee that's going to go 30 meters over the home straight with a live band playing in there. food trucks, live music, as I just said. Thinking buy beers there, and it's going to be all graded. So if you're, I think they've got 250 spots. So if you're anyone looking for a 5K in Victoria or interstate, I know a few people were half thinking about floating down. Definitely. I think it's, I should plug the date here as we're going, but I think
16th.
Yeah, Friday night, I think it was, because they
Friday night.
I think they wanted it on a Friday night.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I got it wrong. I thought it was a Saturday.
And like I think $2,000 prize money, which may they're just working on maybe getting one more sponsor that could push it up to $3,000 prize money. It is the 15th of Jan. So, yeah, it's cool that the Bendigo Council kind of got on board and they want to see fast runners and then also the participation side of things as well. So I think that's going to be, yeah, my next one. The meta races, are they still okay on the track or are they still too big?
Negative. You're in the Dragons. You're not getting out of the Dragons.
What about Zoom streaks?
Which ones?
Whatever. Is there like LT streaks?
There's the LTs, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to wear those. My track racing's coming back.
Yeah, well, they'll be legal.
Yep, there we go at those.
Good, Brady. You'll be able to blow out some cobwebs in Canberra at Stromlo and then hit the track.
That would be worth like 2 weeks training, I reckon, that first blowout, you know, that one. And then you just see if we can get close to 14:30 or something.
He could lose to both you and I within a matter of weeks, Brad.
He won't be losing to me.
In a matter of like, I think it's like 6 days. Imagine that for a bad 6 days.
I hope the podcast gets both the races in one episode.
Yep. So men or women, if you're out there, tell your mates, get down there. I think it's 2 weeks before Zatopek. Any real big dogs want to run and get some prize money?
I think Ali's coming.
Is she?
Yeah.
We didn't really talk about running on that long run. I'm just talking about like houses and cats and stuff, dogs.
She could probably sell her car and buy a house next to yours, I reckon.
She was surprised, actually, when I started telling her price at one stage. A bit startled. She did have a good car, though. It's impressive, her car. Anyway, let's talk about some patrons. Let's thank some of these legends. Do you want to kick us off, Bradley?
Yeah, I've got Scott Benedict this week. He lives in Melbourne. He's run 16:22 at the Melbourne Uni 5K, 36:29 at the Melbourne Marathon 10K, which got him second in his age division, 57:50 for the Ballarat 15K, and according to his Strava, he's run 3,990 kilometres this year. So no doubt he'll get out for another 10 between now and Thursday midnight to crack 4,000, and he may be a Carlton supporter as well. So thanks for your support, Scott.
Thanks, Scott. I think he runs for Ringwood Athletes Club. Someone just smash a phone then or something?
Yeah, that was Viv.
I think he runs a Ringwood. I think I was trying to zoom in on some photos of him today. Just couldn't quite see it. But an AV member down there. Moose, who are you thinking?
What colour is the Ringwood?
It's green with the yellow Ringwood riding on the front.
Okay. I'll think Lachlan Bonnie. He's from Ulverstone in Tassie. He's run 16:25 park run. 449.72. Gee, let's not talk about the park run. Let's talk about that 400.
That would be an inside running, Pete. That would be an inside running record.
I reckon, yeah. 154.800. That could also be a record still.
What'd you run, Brad?
153.
Really?
I ran 152 in a pro race, I think.
Yeah, which means you ran 650 metres, which is 150.
I think it converted to 151 or 152.
Oh, here we go.
I'll find some photos of you. Yeah, of it. Yeah, send it through. Sure, that was a big run that night. Anyway, sorry, keep going, Moose. It's not about me, it's about Lachlan.
It is pro running season, though.
That Lachlan does a bit of pro run, actually. You'll come to that in a second.
All right, yeah. In 2016, he ran 4:23 for 1500 and 9:07 for 3K. He picks up some cash and wins down at the Christmas carnivals on the grass down in Tassie. What, he picks up wins against Stewie McSween?
Yeah. Seen some pictures. That's what that next bit of writing is. That was like the headline of the article. Oh, no, that was when he won some 3K championships. Yeah, you Google this guy and there's like newspaper articles on him down there.
Lachlan Bonney has continued his impressive form on the track with a gold medal performance at the Tasmanian 3,000-metre championships. Yeah. What's his PB, 9:07?
Yeah, but see how I put there 2016? Like, I think he's, I don't think he's converted those yet. I think he's in better shape than that, but hasn't been on the track.
Right. Anyway, thank you for your patronage, Lachlan.
Thanks, Lachlan. I'm going to thank Ash Hawks from Bayswater North, Melbourne, somewhere down there, I reckon. 16:05 at the Melbourne Uni 5K, which is pretty pretty quick. I reckon your PB set in that one, isn't it, Moose? Melbourne Uni 5K?
I reckon.
Good event at March. March
yeah,
every
it's
year.
Fun. Always good. Yep. Good time to get in the shape in March.
It is. 3:24 at the Melbourne Marathon in 2013. Maybe studied at the Box Hill Institute TAFE, and I went to Aquinas College in Melbourne. Maybe a VFL footy umpire as well. Just another one. You know, we've got a lot of AFL, VFL footy umpires supporting this show, so maybe you should start lipping them off, Moose. Thanks,
no,
Ash, for your support.
Good. Ash came down and ran that 10K in Geelong the other night. Yeah, he's mates with Dave McNeil. Dave sent him down to this 10K, and he ran around on last Saturday night.
And I think I did read a message from Ash saying that someone gave him the Patreon subscription for Christmas present after we shouted about that a couple of weeks ago.
There you go.
All right, boys, not much running news here. Vic Miles Club was the only of the results I could find. Big night at Vic Miles Club, actually. I think they broke their attendance records for the most participants in one night down there at Box Hill. On the stream, you do get that when you're at Box Hill. You can hardly see anything at all. People that know, they watched that at Peck last year. It's pretty dark. A few lights just on there. Usually they only do two distances, but they did three. 800 metres, Jeff Risley got the win there, 151, and Claudia Hollandsworth, 205. 3Ks, there were some fast times getting around here. Ben Buckingham, previous guest on the show, ran 757 to win the men's. Andre Waring was second in 803. Peter Green was third in 809. In the women's, Lyndon Hall, previous 1500 metre record holder, she ran 851 for a PB. And Lauren Ryan, who I think's back from college. Can someone confirm that for me? It says independent here, but I think she's been overseas. She ran 8:54, so that's a name to start watching if she's home.
It was very impressive. Both those races, very good races. The men's race at 4:50, it was an interesting little passage of racing where Ben Buckingham's tried to pass Andre on the inside lane, but Andre wasn't really having that. And so showed a bit of resistance to someone coming up his inside when he really wasn't in lane two. He was sort of halfway across. And so there's a little bit of argy-bargy. It was really fun to watch. I liked it. He got Bucks, it looks like, got a bit of an adrenaline shot because he just took off and then he smashed that last lap. I'm not sure what his last lap was, but pretty impressive to watch. Consider if you're going to bust out a last lap like that, you've been sitting pretty fourth gear, third gear the whole way around. So that was good
so
to see.
So were they together at the bell? I haven't seen the 3K yet. Okay. Because when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's a significant gap, kind of like 5 seconds. He must have put a bit of time in him.
It's worth watching.
Yeah, okay.
His first lap was 67 seconds, and so they've come out around 7:57 off a 67 first lap.
Pretty solid field as well. They're a lot under kind of like 8:15, 8:20.
Yeah, it was good racing. You go and watch that. I would watch it.
Yeah, I'll watch it
for
sure.
The ladies also worth watching. I mean, Lauren Ryan, she was born in 1998. Let's just do the math on that. That should tell us a little bit, right? I don't know. What's that, like 22 years old?
Yeah.
She's just back. Maybe she is just back from college. I don't know anything about Lauren.
Villanova. Villanova she ran for.
Yeah, well, that she held on really well to Lyndon. She gave Lyndon a scare, to be honest. At about 600 to go, Lauren went around Lyndon, and I thought, holy shit, she's really like making a move here. And she's sort of – Lyndon looks like super strong the whole time. I mean, it's Lyndon Hall. She's the best – or close to the best – she's not the best female runner that we've got at the moment. I think Jess Hull sort of owns that sort of middle distance area. But Lyndon is very close, and see someone push her like that was really exciting. But, yeah, Lyndon did show her class in the end, winning by 3 seconds, coming home comfortably.
1,500, Abby Caldwell, she got the win, 4:13. Caitlin Adams coming across from South Australia, she ran 4:19. And Gigi McKindy, She ran 4:22. And then the story of the night was Jared Clifford broke the his own world record to win the men's 1500. He ran 3:44.58. Adam Pike was second in 3:47. And Jason Clayton from Glen Huntly was third in 3:49. Talking about people that come home strong, Adam and Jared were together with probably 180, 200 metres to go, and Jared put 3 seconds into him in that kind of, last 150. He came home like an absolute steam train. It was one of those. Did you end up watching that, Moose? I know you and I spoke about it off air.
I didn't watch it. No, I haven't got a chance.
Yeah, I've definitely watched it because it looks like going down the back straight, you're like, oh, this is really on. And like Pike's trying to go him and Clifford's holding his spot. And then, Jared just goes to a completely different level in the last kind of home straight, 150 kind of metres around the bend there. And pretty rare that world records are kind of set at Vic Myler's stuff. So good on Jared Clifford. Been on the show a couple of times. If you haven't heard him, go back and listen to that one. Any comments there, boys? Vic Myler's Club, got any other results for me? That's all I had.
No, it was fun to watch. Again, I just tune in early, put the stream on, like start of the night, watch all the kids from Ballarat run around. Then you see a few boys that you know run around later on. A few ladies' race was exciting too. Saw Whitney Sharp pace a bunch of the races.
Oh, did 3Ks. You?
Yep, that was good to see her back. It's funny, I was watching it. I was like, I said to Bree, I'm like, have a look at this chick. She looks so much. Look how good she runs. And it was like in a C race. I'm going, this doesn't look quite right. And I didn't pick up it was her at the time, but I gave myself a pat on the back for recognising good form.
That was stressy, didn't she, after Steigen?
Yeah, she'd been out for a while. I mean, Steigen was a year ago.
Yeah, I think
she
like
blamed Moose's long run. The cause, Moose's long run after Steigen?
Probably. A lot of whinging on that long run. A lot of pussies out that day.
very good. Brad, listener question is recapping the 2020 year. You want to talk about this criteria that we've dug up from the past 2 years?
Yeah, so before we... all right, let's go through the different categories that we have. So we've got the best performance of the year, the most consistent runner, one to watch for next year, most improved, and the race of the year. Before we get into this year's results, I thought we... would be worth going back to what we, the athletes that we said were ones to watch for 2020. So we had ones to watch. I had Rose Davies.
Not bad from you.
Yeah. So she's still one to watch. I think she's another year or two away from like really hitting her straps. Moose, you had Sarah Billings.
Starved of chances, Sarah Billings, starved of chances.
Yeah, it's been a tough year with limited racing.
Like you said, if you don't, like I think you said last time, if you don't go to Europe, like if you didn't get to Europe, there was nothing for you.
If you're a track runner,
Track runner, yeah. Well, even if you're a road runner, really.
Don't forget, there was stuff in like Jan and Feb though. Like she would have ran at Melbourne Track Classic. Did she win there? I think she did. Like some people got wins down at Hobart at the start of the year. So add that to their 2020s.
I think we made these calls a lot off the back of Zatopek last year.
Yeah. I reckon I made mine off the Noosa Bolt. Rose was really strong there. And that being said, like her run at Launceston was pretty impressive. So
yeah, for sure.
She's definitely one to watch. And
she could run 31:30 at Zatopek in a couple of weeks.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And Brady, you're like one of those guys at Melbourne Cup that bets on every single horse. You've gone Morgan McDonald, Stewie, Jess Hull, and Luke Matthews.
Jeez, I did well, didn't I? Look how many Australian records they got between the four of them.
You called Luke Matthews to win a medal. Luke Matthews, when the Olympics went on, weighed 94 kilos.
Yeah, but don't sleep on Luke Matthews. This COVID could be good for him. Give him another 6 months.
COVID was actually very good for him because if COVID didn't come along, he probably was going to play football next year, I reckon.
But you definitely did well there with Stewie and Jess Hull, Brady.
Stewie and Jess Hull, are you kidding?
No, I listened back to it today and I said I think there's a realistic chance that a medal's going to come from one of those four people.
Okay. Yeah.
Which I'm leaving those four names there.
Okay.
Well, we've done. I don't know if he's even raced in the last 12 months, has he?
Not sure.
Yeah.
Not much anyway. Well, no one's really raced much.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's start off. I'll kick it off. The best performance of 2020, and what's really cool about this is last year we actually had it all written down on the document, but I don't know what Moose has written down this year, and I don't know what Brady's written down, but my best performance of 2020 was Stewie's 3,000-meter Australian record. The reason why I've selected that over some of Jess Hull's races or Robbo's sub-60 half is, firstly, it's the highest on the IAAF points. That, what he runs, 7:28, put him 17th on the all-time list. So if you go to, like, the all-time rankings for that 3,000 metres, I know it's not as commonly run as a 5K or a 1,500, but generally, the athletes are on the world stage have had a chance of running a fast 3K. And so for him to be 17th all time is pretty incredible. You just have got to look at the athletes that he's around versus, you know, he's 46th in the 1500. So that is my best performance of 2020.
I'll debate you here.
Yep.
Firstly, I'll say that I took any type of bias out of this and I went on World Athletics points for the races run. And the four that I included in my criteria were Jess Hull. I took her best performance according to the IAAF, which was her 4:42 1,500-meter national record, where she scored scored 1,202 points over her 1,500, which was less. I mean, her 5K record. Stewie McSween's 7:28 was the best performed Australian distance run of the year, 12:52 points. And I gave Stewie the points because of that.
Yeah, but he did it last year, though. That was 2000 and... What? That was 2019, the 10K.
No, we're talking about the 3,000 metres.
I thought you said 10,000 metres.
No, 3,000.
Oh. 3,000, you're in 7:28.
Oh, 20, 7:28. Yeah. I heard the 27.
Come on, get with it.
I heard 7:20-something. Oh, I'm just a bit disappointed that you guys are just doing all this off numbers in, like, formulas and stuff. Like, I want a bit of emotion here.
This is me doing it off numbers. And what I'm going to say, though, is I'm going to counter Brad's 3K because it's not an Olympic event. It's really an in-between event. It would be like if someone ran the 1,000-meter Australian record. Are they going to get performance of the year for that? Probably not because the 1,500-meter record is something that, well, has been going since, what, the 70s or the late 60s when they started to run it. The half marathon's been a recently new record as well. No one really ran half marathons in, like, the mid-90s or whatever. Maybe they started to. It was becoming a thing. But if you look at the 10,000, Pat Tiernan broke the Australian record for the 10,000 that's been held by Ron Clark. You got Jess Hull's got a 1,500-meter record that's been going since the 60s. And so if you're going off emotion, I'm going to give this to Jess Hull, who's run the Australian record in the 1,500.
So that was one that you wrote down, was Jess Hull's 1,500?
No, I said I was basing it off points, but now I'm changing it because I just talked myself into it. Well, I just talked myself into it. Jess Hull has now got the best performance of the year.
All right. The other reason why I go for Stewie's 3K is we know how good Mottram was, and arguably, like, that 3K to 2 mile distance was Mottram's best event. And he had lots of opportunities to run quick ones, you know, World Cups where he was, you know, where he beat Bekele. And for Stewie to take 4 seconds off Mottram's Aussie record, that says something. So that's more than just numbers. Like, that's pretty impressive knowing how well Mottram ran over 3K.
If you're going to use that argument, then you can talk about Ron Clark running the 10,000 metre, Mottram running the 10,000, Collis running the 10,000 where they've run 11, well, where Tiernan's broken it. So if you're going to use past athletes of the same distance, well, Tiernan's faster than all of them. And we've pretty much talked about Stewie McSween being one of the great Australian distance runners, and Tiernan's gone and knocked his time off.
It's hard to do because a lot of Australian records went down this year.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the 3K.
Well, I think I've got both of you guys. Brett Robinson, half marathon. This is the reason why. first Australian under 60 minutes to start off with, wins the race. So you're talking about Stewie coming third, aren't you, Brad, in a race? Like, Brett's winning this race. We've got a very strong history of good marathoners in this country. Like, Deke's had a go at it, Monna's had a go
at it. It's a half marathon, mate.
Darren Wilson's had a go at it.
Yeah.
Significant with the, like, punters at home that do half marathons. And I think it was a bit unexpected as well. Like, although we all knew he was capable of it, I think watching it that day, I don't know. I just reckon that was not by far, but for me, that was performance of the year. That record has stood for the longest when we're talking about these records that the others have got. Darren Wilson did that in 2007.
When did Jess Hull's 15, or Linden, was it?
Yeah, like they're just breaking recent records. Like even Gregson's 1500 that Stewie got, if you want to start throwing that up there, that was Gregson's from Monaco in 2010. We've seen Collis and Benny Sane and Mottram all step up and try to run half marathons and not get near that 60-minute mark. So, yeah, throwing all the people in there. Pat Tien has run a half marathon. Jack Rayner, Brett Robinson, best performance 2020 in my eyes. Stewie close second with his 1500, though, just the way he destroyed that field. That was the Doha Diamond League. Like I want to give best performance to someone who's actually winning a race.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough.
I just thought that Stewie's 3K, like 7:28 is absolutely fine. Like,
if he won the race.
Sub 60 second laps for 7.5 laps, and knowing what's world record? 7:20, but then I think second best ever is like 7:23. So, like, 5 seconds off the best ever.
But having only three non Africans gone under 60 minutes as well for Brett. Like Brett, Zane Robertson, and is it Julian Wenders?
Nathan Ritzenheim went under 60.
Didn't he run 60.00?
Brian Hall went under.
Yeah, okay, maybe that stat is wrong.
Sondre Mohan went under.
Sondre Mohan, that's Christian from Norway knows some stat about
where do you reckon that's, where do you reckon Brett's run put him on the all time list for a half marathon?
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
No, because you got so
210?
Many.
210?
Yeah, you got so many.
Pretty close, Moose. No, yeah. 100. Yeah. So it was 187th.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah, we, that doesn't make me look good here. I think we're all right for different reasons.
This is what's awesome about it is because we don't know what we don't know what the others have actually written down for all of these categories. So good discussion, and there's no right answer.
No, there's not. And even the bias that we bring to it, because I can remember this was on like prime time Sunday afternoon. Everyone had the stream. Everyone was messaging each other, going, "Hey, he looks pretty good here. He could win this." Like it was that kind of unexpected. Watching it unfold live meant more for a good performance for me personally, rather than waking up and just checking the Diamond League result that happened 4 hours ago. So, like, I bring a bias to it with that question. Anyway, good chat, fellas. If you've got any inquiries about this, just make sure you email Julian during the week, Running Company Ballarat Facebook page, any queries. Next one, Brad.
Yeah, let's go most improved athlete of 2020. So let's go with you, Brady.
Jessica Hull, I reckon she, what did I write down here? Well, she started the season with no Australian records and she took home three of them. She made that transition because, like, I remember interviewing her, it was July actually, I was up the Gold Coast last year and she'd just come out of college, so she maybe only had like 2 or 3 months as a pro at the end of 2019, whereas we talk about her at the end of 2020, who's, you know, world-class, a pro athlete, kind of make up all these Diamond League fields. And was hanging on to the lead packs for, you know, she wasn't getting close to winning them, but she was there for a long period of time. And going from 15 dead to 14:43, like, that's a significant jump, I thought. So she's my most improved athlete for 2020.
Yeah, because last year she obviously ran at World Champs. I think she just missed the final. Yeah, so I guess she's been on the world stage. But what about you, Moose? Who have you gone with?
Well, I had Jess Hull down as well. But just for the purpose of discussion, I'm going to throw in someone who is taking another category of mine this year, but Izzy Bat Doyle from South Australia. She ran, I think it was 32:02 maybe, down in Launceston. Oh no, sorry, she Rose Davies ran that and Izzy was behind her, but she's run low 32.
I looked her up as well though, and she just pretty much equaled her track 10k PB from over in the States. Because I thought was mine as well until I started digging around the numbers.
Perhaps you had more time than me today. But we just never heard when you
true.
We're hearing about her a lot more because she's in local domestic races. Like, we don't hear about those races in America, so she comes back, she's in our face a bit more. She's mixing it up with girls like in South Australia. She was beating those girls consistently, and that's a deep women's field over there. So yeah, well, I had Jess Hull down, so that's my answer. But
Izzy's gone from someone that we wouldn't have even considered making a team at this time last year to like, oh, yeah, she could get a team for the 5K.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bradley. All right, I'll throw another name out there, and I was tossing up between two. I know on our Facebook page, like, people have mentioned, like, Matt Ramsden, and, like, he definitely, you know, when he went and did that time trial over in WA and some of his races over in Europe, like, he ran at the World Champs last year, so he's definitely one that has improved and is genuinely world-class now. But I'm going to say Ollie Hoare. He's a guy that obviously did some really good stuff over at college. I think before this year, he maybe run 3:37 for 1500 or so. But what he did in those couple of weeks over in the US, where he ran 3:34 and was it 3:53 for the mile, but it was in a way where he didn't have really anyone around him for the majority of those races, which means that he can run faster than he has, which now makes him a genuine contender for an Aussie team and world class. So I'll throw Ollie Hoare out there as most improved.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I like Ramsden though. Yeah. I didn't look at the Facebook post. I didn't.
Some good answers in there.
Yeah. That would be a nice way to get. Yeah, I probably should have looked at that.
Just start reading those out from now on.
Yeah.
An honourable mention on a domestic level as well to Tommy DeCano. You know, like, he's been competing for a long time, and, you know, obviously he's run a really good marathon, but what he's been able to do over sort of 5K and the half compared to what he had been doing for the last 10 years has been really good to see. So he's obviously improved a lot over the last year in those sort of distances.
On a domestic level as well, I've got a bit of a soft spot to this guy because he did that track 10K time trial we did in Bendigo. Andre Waring, he went 29:51 to 29:03, which is a big jump. So,
mate, if we're going to start throwing those names out, fuck me. Ed Goddard runs 62 minutes as well.
Yeah, true. Yeah. That's exciting. There's names everywhere. I said domestic level. I wasn't saying he's going to win the whole category.
That's not domestic level. That's fucking.
He was in the lead pack with Jack, not Dot Jack, who was in that lead pack with. Yeah.
Anyway,
keep moving on. Most consistent. Things get heated.
You can go Moose this time.
I got Stewie. He was, every time he went to race, he pulled, like, he was in the big races. He broke two Australian records. He was consistently good last year.
Yeah, can't disagree with that. I'm just going to throw another name in there, though, just because Pat Tiernan rarely races. I think we might have seen him two or three times, but he just has 100% strike rate every time he does race. We saw him break the Australian record and just miss that road 15K record when he paced Galen Rupp in that half marathon. And that's the only result.
Consistent, surely you got to run.
Yeah, that I had Stewie as well. I had Pat, like, yeah.
I mean, Jess should be up there too, really. But we're going to give Jess nearly every award.
Yeah, and Stewie. I'm just trying to throw other names in there for conversation.
I just gave Stewie this one because Jess won the last one.
Yeah.
Because this was Jess again, straight up.
Yeah, I had them both down, but then I went more with Stewie just because I remember Jess had one race where I think she ran like low fours, and then the next race she was slightly slower, but, you know, it was hard to split those two, but I'll go Stewie for that.
Especially if the pacemaker gets it wrong or if it's a tactical race, like, that result could, doesn't say everything about the performance in a way.
Mm. All right, let's go with race of the year. So, like, last year, the events that we mentioned were Steigen hashtag one and, like, the Doha Women's 10K. So race of the year, who wants to kick this one off?
I found this really challenging.
I'll go first then, if
this
you like.
This was easy for me.
Was it?
I went London Marathon men's for a couple of reasons. One, it was unpredictable. You know, Kipchoge was in the race, had issues. But even just how exciting the men's race was in that last few K. Like, you didn't know who was going to win until the last, last 10, 15 metres. And also, like, the fact that, us and also the guys at Athletics New South Wales tried something a bit different by having a bit of a live commentary at a live party while it was happening. So that was probably my favourite race of the year.
I've got an argument there, Brad. I've also got London as well, but only because of the hype like that was built and the drama beforehand. But my argument is I didn't find the racing that exciting because I didn't really know anyone in that men's lead pack. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if there was Kipchoge versus Bekele versus whoever, because none of them were there, I was like, it was hard to be invested because I just didn't know who those guys were.
Yeah, I knew a few of them. Like, we mentioned that one of the guys, I remember, had done a heap of work in New York one year. And
yeah,
like,
well, those last few just do, really, knew him on a different level.
Yeah, like, it was exciting.
It was an exciting race to watch, yeah.
Well, and because you always expected it to be a massive burn-up at the end, and it sort of wasn't. And it was, you know, so anyway. But, and really, there's not that many races to choose from.
Exactly, yeah. But I love the hype around London and the weather and having Australians involved in it as well.
So what's your answer?
Mine's London.
London
well.
Marathon, you're men's.
Right. I had Valencia half men's just because, I mean, how about what happened, really? Like, you saw a world record and you saw, like, 10 blokes go under fucking 58 minutes or whatever. I don't know what it was.
Boring,
exactly.
Boring race, though.
Nah, it was incredible to watch. It just, have you ever seen a bloke run 2:45s for 21K in a row? I've never seen that before. No one's ever seen that before.
I reckon the show, though, after that race, we all said how shit it was to watch, how boring it was.
I'm still remembering it. It's still blowing my mind, though. Yeah. The actual race, like, thinking back, it stayed with me about how you go and do some 1K reps, right? That's the kind of shit that it's like, it takes a bit to blow your mind these days, right? When you think, we've seen Kipchoge run a marathon in 2:54s and whatever, but 2:52s maybe it was it? Yeah. This bloke's run 2:45s.
Yeah.
That's 7 seconds quicker than him.
But it blew my brain too much. Like, that was like, this is so far away now.
Yeah, it does. It's just a whole nother level above anything that you could, like, I've never considered. Anyway.
Well, especially when, like, an hour or two beforehand, we're going, oh, Pat's just broken the Aussie 10K record, and they've pretty much gone through 10K in what he ran.
Yeah.
So it was quite mind-blowing. And that was also the race where Brady compared himself to the winner, wasn't it?
Yeah, I compared myself to the winner of the men's, Candy, and then the winner of the females, saying that she ran pretty much the same as my Moama time trial time. I haven't heard anything about Moama yet, fellas. There's a couple of questions still to go here. If you want to drop that in, feel free to.
All right, let's go with then the overall Australian distance runner of the year.
Can only say one, fellas.
Jess
Hull.
I'm going to go Stewie.
Why?
See, I went Jess because she got one extra Aussie record. Yep. She got three of them.
Jess got three records. Stewie got two records. But I looked through every one of his results today. So he ran 4 1500 metres. He got two firsts and two thirds. He ran 1 3K. He came third behind Jakob and Kiplimo. He ran, about 4 5Ks. He came two first in the 5Ks, one second, and a sixth at Monaco. So, you know, it's just a solid year. And I think for Jess, she was 10th when she got the 3K record and she was 4th when she got the 5K one. Whereas I've seen he's up there winning these races. And yeah, he missed one of the records, but he's been more dominant on the world stage. Whereas Jess has got the three records, but she never really was in a situation or position where she was going to win one of those Diamond Leagues, and it was more hang on for as long as she can and come home with a fast time.
Yeah. Jess got it for me just because...
three records, that's what did it for you?
It might have been the three record thing. I think she was... I mean, Stewie was very competitive in Diamond Leagues as well, but I think it was the 5K that Jess ran where she just went in the front pack and she just got on board and she just held on for as long as she could. And I remember everyone at the time, like, I just saw, we all watched it and thought, oh, this girl, this girl's a bit of a baller here. Like, she doesn't mind getting after it, and she backs herself, and she held on really well. Like, even that, I don't know, I just felt like she was up there contending a lot too. Yeah. You could have gone either way.
Yeah, and that was Monaco too, which was probably Stewie's poorest race of the year, when he was sixth and, you know, Chepdegai was out the front and Stewie was just coming in with the rest of them in, you know, 13:08 or whatever. But yeah, Jess was probably more impressive that night. Brad, why Jess and not Stewie?
Mainly just because of the three records versus two. But like you make a valid point in terms of, yes, Stewie was in a position to at least podium in pretty much everything he ran in, which probably brings him back to the more consistent, I suppose. Like, it's super consistent, but, you know, three Aussie records in the space of how many days was it is pretty incredible. So that was the reason for me.
Yep. Very good. Runner to watch in 2021. This is the one that comes back to bite you if you get it wrong.
This is tough because it's...
I've got about four dot points written down here.
I've got a few names thrown out too, actually. You go.
Moose can go first.
You want me to go first?
You want to go first? Yeah, I'm just rereading my notes to make sure they're legit.
Well, my three to watch out for, Izzy Bat Doyle.
Oh, yeah. So she's my first. Yep. We've spoken about her already too.
We're not going to include the likes of Stewie and Jess. Good. Yeah.
That seems a little easy.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Zach Faccioni.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Ollie Hoare.
Yeah.
I got three.
Yeah, good.
Bradley, anything else to add to that?
Yeah, so I've sort of got two categories. I've got ones that I think will make a really big statement within the next 12 months. So Ollie Hoare and Matt Ramsden are probably the two for me. And then the likes of Zach, Jai Edwards and Adam Fogg are like three others that are probably another year or two away from being at that real, you know, the Stewie level and that sort of thing potentially. So in terms of next year, Ollie and Ramsden.
I agree with everything you guys have said. I just put men's marathoning down here. Like, I just wonder if that 2:11:06 is safe when you still got guys like, if Moose can get right, if Tom DeCano can find a fast marathon, Ed Goddard, Joel Tobin-White, Andy Buchanan. Like, that's just standard. Like, throw seven names out there and hopefully one of them runs a good marathon sometime between now and then. Like, Jack's 2:11:06. It's going to rely on a fast marathon happening, you know, somewhere in Australia if they can't get overseas. And even the, interested to see what Jess and Millie potentially do to try to get Ali's 2:26:21 in the marathoning stuff as well. And I suppose I'm just mentioning that stuff because that's what interests me, the marathon kind of stuff. I think Jared Clifford goes in the Paralympics with a lot more pressure on. Now he's improved those world records to get that double gold after the double at the World Championship. So that's going to be interesting to watch how he handles that pressure. And Izzy Bat Doyle, like we spoke about there as well. It's going to be exciting, boys.
Bring it on.
For a year of not much racing, there's been a lot to recap.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a bit of a tough one, isn't it? Because no one really got a chance to improve. A lot of people didn't get a chance to improve. A lot of people didn't get a chance to be. We're talking about Jess and Stewie because they got the they were elite enough to get over to Europe and to get spots in the races that went ahead, whereas if you were sort of just below trying to break through, this wasn't your year, really, was it?
No.
And that's why Ramsden got the opportunity to compete overseas as well. And, like, you know, his 3:51 mile, bloody impressive. So, speaking of
Ollie Hoare in that situation, could he have done the same?
Based on those two races where he was on his own for the second half of the race, you've got to think he's got more in him. Speaking of recaps, Moose, I was listening back to last year's episode, and on this episode last year, you spoke about you being a movie consultant for that movie that was happening around Ballarat.
I thought
it would be cool. Have you heard anything?
Well, no. And funnily enough, I was talking. I think who was I talking to? I was talking to someone, there was a listener question on the Road to Nowhere, where Joel got asked about it, but he said he hadn't heard anything about it either. I think COVID might have killed their plans a little bit to release it. I can't even remember what the fucking thing was cool.
Did you end up getting any cash out of it?
Oh, yeah. I got paid really well.
Yeah, okay.
I got paid, like, at least $5,000 for
Did you?
Yeah.
For consulting.
I think I only worked, like, 2 days, maybe. And, it was very lucrative, actually.
Well, maybe we should be asking Tobin White about it.
He got paid.
Oh, yeah. So he got paid much better than I did.
Whether it exists, whether it's, been produced.
Yeah. He didn't know last time. So, I think it was coming out, obviously it was a Korean movie, so it would come out in Korea. You've got to, if anyone wants to keep track of their movie releases, they'd probably tell us.
Yeah. Anyway, I was just listening to it. I thought, I've got to ask Moose about that.
Yeah. Good. I totally forgot about it. Okay. Yeah.
As long as the cash is in the bank account, you don't have to worry too much anymore.
Hey, I helped them a lot. I told them. No, I didn't do anything, actually.
Because I remember you jumped on pretty early and went, I don't have time for this. But sounds like you still got paid well for not doing much.
No, yeah, well, at that point, they never told me how much they'd pay me until afterwards. And so I probably would have put in more effort if I knew I was getting paid a lot.
Yeah, oh, well. You got a Moose on the Loose or Purchase of the Week before we wrap up this week?
Christmas present time, right?
Yeah.
Christmas is, so I got a... I got a pair of sunglasses from Brie, like running sunnies, yellow with blue bands, polarized, good for your eyes. This is a bit of a Moose tip of the week. When you run and it's sunny, it's like sunscreen. You have to wear protection for your eyes when it's sunny outside. Because I went to the optometrist, he said I had like sun damage in my eyes, and so get good sunglasses. That's a tip.
Similar style to what Jack Rayner was wearing at Launceston.
They were pretty similar. Good swagger.
Everyone's wearing those now, aren't they?
I've been wearing them for a while, actually. I've been wearing the Oakley M2, and I've got a new pair of Oakley M2s, they're called. They're kind of like the old school Lance Armstrong style M-frames from back in the early 2000s, late 90s.
Yeah, right. I'm just Googling them. Sorry, you stopped talking. Just seeing what they look like. Brad, you'd be all over the Oakley M2s, wouldn't you? Oh, yeah, these things.
I've never really run in sunnies. I should, though, because I've got, like a bit of a sunspot on my eye as well. I probably should wear some sunglasses when I'm running.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good idea. You're always too late by the time you go in and the optometrist says you need to buy these expensive-ass sunnies.
Mm. No. I've actually got a skin cancer bloody check next week, the full body one.
Full body?
Yeah. Full body, yeah.
Booking for one of those too soon. Mm. They're good, though. It's worth doing. GPs, you just get it done with your GP?
There's a special clinic here where they, I've got them, they basically take photos and then they compare them. So I've been able to compare like the same spots for the last 6 years, 7 years, I suppose. Oh. So I just keep going back to the same one now because they've got them all on file.
That's legit. My disc guy just goes over me with a torch kind of thing.
Yeah. So takes a while. Because it's all on the computer, so it brings up the spot and then compares it to how it is now.
Yeah, very good. All right, fellas, we're done. What's coming up, Brad, between now and next week?
I've got a track session tomorrow. And then I think there's a Gungahlin Park run on New Year's Day, which is Friday, so that's my session day. So I think I'm just going to go down there and do like a bit of a tempo, like a 16-minute 5K, and then maybe some hills afterwards. So that'll be my two workouts for the week, and that'll be it before we head down the coast the following week, which will be good. Look forward to that.
Yeah, we'll be maybe in the same spot to record next time.
Oh, no, it'll be the day date? Before.
Yeah, I don't know day what before, day it is. Yeah. Moose, what are you doing?
This week?
Yeah.
I got a week off still. So I'm going to do a workout tomorrow. I go to work on Saturday, actually. Yeah.
Sound happy about that.
Oh, it's good to get back in, feel the vibe, then take off again.
What about you, Brady? When are you starting your road trip? Oh, actually,
happy birthday tomorrow.
Happy birthday for tomorrow.
Thank you, Brad. Really appreciate that. Birthday tomorrow. I'm just going to go out for dinner with Carly, real low key there. And then, starting to make out. We've got to finalise, actually. We started looking at a bit of stuff today, finalise some dates and stuff.
You're leaving on the second?
Mate, changes every day at the moment. Changes every day. I'll talk to you about it off air, but we'll be getting up there. I'm just not sure when. But I'll definitely be there at that Canberra race, and then I'm not sure if we'll stick around or be there beforehand or whatever. But I'll talk to you about that when we get off air.
All right, no worries.
All right, thanks, listeners, for tuning in. Happy running. See you later, fellas.
See ya.
See ya.